Psalm 23 this morning, the most familiar of all the Psalms, Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm, and we're going to read the first three verses of the chapter here, and being a couple of them for the message this morning. Psalm 23, Psalm that was given to us by, of course, God, but through the pen of David. Not all the Psalms were given by David, but this one was, and rightly so, as he was, of course, a shepherd at one time in his life. Let's stand together, please. In respect and honor of God's wonderful book, and we're reading now the first three verses, Psalm 23, 1, 2, and 3. Would you please join me? In fact, let's just read them all together. They're not long, and it's not a long passage. So let's read it together this morning, verses 1, 2, and 3. Ready? Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My dear Father, we thank you this morning for these really familiar passages of Scripture that they're no more inspired than any other passage. But Lord, they're just real familiar to us, and they just seem to just keep oozing forth fountains of blessings and helps and truths. And I pray that you'll help us to get a little bit of that this morning from this familiar passage of Scripture. Lord, I know we sometimes become so familiar with passages, we overlook them. We seem to think we know them in and out, but we don't. Help us today to learn something that may be a real need for us in the future. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. good song this morning. Well done. Thank you for that. I want to speak this morning from the text, the title of the message I'm taking out of chapter 23 and verse 3. And where it says there at the very, very first phrase in the verse, He restoreth my soul. I want to talk to you about a restored soul this morning. And let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this truth, this lesson today, this message from God's Word. My Father, we will come to a place in our life when we will need what we're going to hear today. Some may already be at that place. Others may have been there and are out now. And others of us headed that direction. And we'll probably visit it more than once if we decide we're going to live our lives for you. We need a restored soul. Thank you that you're in the restoration business. And I pray that you'll please help me this morning present a truth that'll be a help to folks. If not now, later. Some folks may look back and rejoice in this truth, reminded of something they've already experienced before in life. Whatever the case, Lord, just speak to every heart. I know that you can. I trust that you will. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Occasionally, when out visiting in the area for prospects, maybe following up on a prospect from church or door knocking to try to find prospects, you run across somebody who is restoring an older vehicle, restoring an older car. What they are doing is usually not their job. It is their hobby, maybe work they do on the side, something that they just love to do and they're good at. I admire their ability. I don't believe I could do it, especially if they can do it all. If they can do the motor and the drivetrain and the body work and the paint job and the interior. And, I believe in some cases it's quite expensive to find replacement parts and put them on and restore a vehicle. But I'm going to tell you what, the finished project is one of beauty, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen Steve Blanchett's restored motorcycle. He got an old Norton. What year is that thing, Brother Steve? 74. He got an old 74 Norton. And he and a friend of his that he knew invested some time restoring that thing. And it is a thing of beauty. And he looks pretty cool riding it down the road. Amen. So get that black leather jacket on there and the gloves. And he's looking all right. But, the ability to do that. I mean, put the time in and do the work on it. That I admire that. I know when I was a boy, my favorite Uncle YT, Young Thomas, I think he was here for Hannah's wedding. But he had a 1955 Chevy. To me, that's been the favorite vehicle of all the old classic cars. Now, you believe it, I had a 1967 Mustang and too stupid to know what I had. It was the first car I owned. Can you imagine that? My General Motors employed father took me to buy a Mustang. Amen. So, but I owned a 1967 Mustang. You don't know how many times I've kicked myself wishing I had kept that thing and had it restored. And but those 55 Chevys, when I see a restored 55 Chevrolet, it just makes me smile. Just something about it. I don't know. And because I remember my uncle's vehicle and so forth, but this just makes me smile. Now, to see something that was, has been used up, to see something that's old or maybe has been neglected, set out in the elements and rusted away, faded color, maybe the paint's peeled, to see that turned back. And that's the word restored. That's the word restoration, turned back. To see that thing turned back into what it was like when it was new, it's just exciting. I enjoy those type of things. And I want to tell us this morning that our great shepherd is in the business of restoring. He is. It's not a hobby with him. It's not something he does on the side. He's full-time at it. And he has to be because of how frail we are, how weak we are. So that's one of his full-time, job descriptions, if you will. I don't mean to be irreverent in talking about our Lord this morning, but I'm telling you, folks, he's in the restoration business. He can take old, broken-down lives. He can take old, broken-down souls, neglected, maybe old, faded, rusted, and he can restore them and make them like new. How do you know that? Well, I'm talking to some folks this morning who've experienced that in life. You've already been restored. I think some are right now in a position where they need to be. Some of us will be. Maybe we've already been. We'll be again more than one time. David testified in this psalm that God restored his soul. He said, He restoreth my soul. And I like that. The soul of man is the part of us that thinks, that feels, that chooses. It's what we talk about when we mention heart. A lot of times when you use the word heart, you're not talking about the physical organ in the chest cavity that's pumping the blood through your the veins and arteries and so forth, circulatory system. It's not talking about that muscle. We talk about the heart of man. We're talking about the innermost part of our being. We're not talking about our body. And we're really not talking about that part of us that communicates with God, our spirit. We're talking about our mind, where we think. We're talking about our emotions, our feelings. We're talking about that part of us that our will that makes decisions and choices. I will do this or I will not do that. It's that. That's what we talk about when we talk about the soul. And folks, I think we need to understand, I think most of us do, that there is a battle for dominion over the soul between our body, what we call the flesh, and our spirit. Or that part that God influences. You see, our body is the seat of our senses, our sight, our hearing, our taste, our touch, our smell. The body is the seat of those physical senses. It is also dominated by our sin nature. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the body. For our bodies to dominate our soul is to live a life controlled by sin, the flesh, the world. Okay? Now, our spirit is the seat of our relationship with God. Born into this world with a dead spirit, we have no communication with God. I've said before many times, if you're talking to somebody about their salvation experience and they tell you, oh, I've been a Christian from the time I was born, you know good and well that that person has no concept of Bible salvation. Because nobody is born into this world in a relationship with God. You're born into this world with a dead spirit. Cannot communicate with God. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is what God does for us when He saves us. He quickens or makes alive our dead spirit. And now we have a relationship with God through our born again live spirit. Our spirit's made alive in salvation. We now have a relationship with God. Now watch it. For our spirit to dominate our soul, you got body, soul, and spirit. And that soul is almost right in the middle. Okay, if I'm the soul and Brother Bragg is the body and Brother Caleb is the, Brother Hansen is the spirit, these two, the flesh and the spirit, I forget which one I made you, the flesh and the spirit, they are in war. They are contrary to each other and they're both warring over control of the soul. The body wants to control the way I think, the way I feel, wants to control my choices. The Spirit of God wants to control my body, control my emotions, control my choices. They are warring over control of our mind, our emotions, and our choices. What does that make the soul? That makes the soul the battleground. That makes the soul the battleground between the flesh and the spirit, warring over control of our soul. You know, great battles, fierce battles have been waged for the control of strategic cities in wars of years gone by. Two armies and two countries, if you will, and two ideologies normally warring for control of a city. You think about World War II, you think about Paris, and you think about St. Petersburg, and you think about Moscow and these cities that were strategic areas. And wars were fought, battles were fought over the control of those cities. Now, what happens when a city is the battleground? Well, the city takes a pounding. The streets and the buildings and the factories and the military installations and even residential districts get hammered by bombs and gunfire. And there's war. Have you taken a look at the pictures from the Gaza Strip in the last 7 or 8 days? You know? And what cowards to take their military and put them in hospitals and schools and things like that and put innocent people's lives at risk. When the Israeli military is giving them prior notice, you need to get out of here. We're coming in. And folks, I would not lift up one critical word against the nation of Israel. until you've lived in an area where they rain thousands of bombs and rockets on your homeland every over a 64-year period. What has it been, this truce? It's incredible. But have you seen the pictures of this? Have you seen the pictures of the battleground? It's wasted. It's torn up. That's what happens when cities are the strategic battlegrounds, if you will, between two armies, two ideologies. Now, look, there's a battle going on for the control of my soul. There is a battle going on for the control of your soul. Someone wants to dominate what I think about. Someone wants to dominate my emotions, and someone wants to control my choices. You got the flesh on one side, you got the spirit on the other. And it's a battle, it's a war, back and forth, back and forth. Now, our souls get worn down. We're familiar with physical weariness. But I want to tell you something. Our souls get worn down. And if we're not careful, they get to the place where they just we don't think like we ought to think, and our emotions are out of whack and unstable. And then we don't make the right choices, proper choices. In fact, at times it becomes hard to make a decision, to see our way to even make a decision. It's called the battle over the soul, between the flesh and the spirit. And our Lord, our God, our shepherd is in the business of restoring our soul, turning back the soul, the mind, the feelings, the choices, turning them back to like new conditions. You know, our minds get weak. I remember when I transitioned from physical work to mental work. And I was involved in a schedule in college that was incredible. I mean, go to class full time as a student, and then work a full time job 40 hours, and then study, and then on the weekends full time in the ministry. And I mean, brother, I was talking to somebody the other day. It was a brutal college schedule. Brutal. We were at the school at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, you know, for prayer meeting and then bus meetings and then prayer meetings in the city of Chicago at 9 o'clock at night and getting back to the dorms at 10:30 and 11 o'clock and then up again on the bus on Sunday, week after week after week, full time student, full time job. And I want to tell you something, man, it was physically wearing. But I remember when I transitioned from that to the position of assistant pastor, and I remember talking to my wife about it, I was more tired at the end of a week as an assistant pastor than I was at a 40-hour work week in the factory. And I couldn't figure it out. It dawned on me one day, and then talking to Brother Brown or somebody, it was the mental work. And man, some of you men are involved in that type of thing where, you know, you don't get your hands. In fact, a day of physical labor is a day of therapy. It really is. Man, so many times I have so many people offer to help me do physical things that need to be done. But sometimes I want to do it myself. It's like therapy to get my hands filthy, dirty, and to sweat and to carry on or freeze, as the case may be nowadays, you know. But it's good for me. It's like therapy. But our minds get tired. And when your mind gets tired, maybe it's worry, maybe it's anxiety that grips the mind, okay? And those thought processes, and so the mind gets weary, and the emotions get frayed. Yeah. Be it despair or fear or sorrow, we can't trust our feelings. And then the ability to make decisions, to make choices, it gets clouded. It gets cumbersome, and we just can't seem to pull the trigger on a decision. It's so different. You remember when you made decisions, bang, 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 and your emotions were stable, and your mind was clear, and you could think and think clearly, but you hit that old expression, you hit the wall. And your mind's not clear. And your emotions are unstable. It's hard to make a choice. Do you understand we're dealing with the three aspects of the soul? Mind, emotions, will. Thoughts, feelings, choices. That's our soul. And our Bible tells us Our need is a restored soul. That's the answer to when you hit the wall in those situations and your mind is tired and you can't think and your emotions are overwhelmed and unstable and it's just difficult to make a decision. You can't get a grip on pulling the trigger on doing this or not doing this. What the answer, friend, is a restored soul. I don't mean to be mean this morning, folks, but the answer is not at the pharmacy. Folks, we have to be careful. Because that's the world's answer. Write you up a prescription to get you a bottle that does this to your mind and does this to your emotions and does this to you, and you understand that you're under the control of that little thing that's in that bottle. I'm not against medicine. I'm not against that at all. My goodness, every now and again, I take an aspirin for a headache, Aleve for joints. Oh, my gracious. That are starting to ache nowadays. I don't know. I wake up from sleeping at night, and, you know, your hand, I guess I sleep with my hand flat or something like that, because when I wake up in the morning, I do this, and I hear it. What in the world? A little glucosamine for the joints is good. All right, I don't want to be off the deep end, but I will tell you something, friend. The answer is a restored soul. The answer is a renewed mind. The answer is stable emotions. And the answer is the ability to think properly and see things properly and make decisions that are in accordance with God's Word. A restored soul is the answer. A restored ability to make decisions. Restored, stable, emotional base. A restored, calm, insightful thought process. A restored soul is our need. And you see that old car? It's restored. It's bright. Those bright, shiny chrome parts are just gleaming and glistening, and the paint is clean and the interior is spotless, and you raise the hood and the engine parts have all been washed and they're shining, and you listen to the thing purr in perfect timing. It wasn't that way before somebody restored it. And you and I are not made to go on autopilot. We are beings with a soul. That's what makes us different from a dog. Ring the bell, he comes to eat. Yeah. We're not animals. The difference between us, we have a soul. We're made in the, we just studied that this morning in Sunday school. We're made in the likeness of man. We have feelings and a mind with which to think and decisions and the ability to choose. And our need every now and again is a restored soul. And that's what God does to our souls. He can restore them. There are times when I need my soul restored. There are times when you need your soul restored. I counsel people, and just in talking with people who are in need, you can see it. You can see a mental weariness. You can see an emotional instability. Really. And I know we talk about women being more emotional than men and so forth and so on, but I want to tell you something. There is an emotional stability even for the female gender that God wants us to experience. And the ability to make proper choices and decisions. You know, I love the song Charlotte sang just a moment ago, and I believe, friend, that ought to be our testimony in this year. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. But I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't give us an excuse for laziness. Doesn't give us an excuse for not using prudence. A prudent man foreseeth evil. Sure he does. But we're not creatures that are just put on autopilot by God, where we operate on a plane of efficiency with no need of restoration. A car doesn't do that. A vehicle breaks down. It gets rusty if it gets neglected especially. But somebody takes it and restores it. And God says to His people, every now and again, your soul's going to need to be restored. Your minds grow weary. Your emotions grow unstable. The ability to decide is stuck in mud. And David said, when you hit the wall like that, thank God, you don't have to run to the pharmacy. You have a shepherd that restores your soul, friend. He restores our soul. Now think about this with me for just a moment. This restoration. Because it might not take place where you think it does. You know, you think, yeah, boy, you know, if I could go, you know, and just get everything in my life on track and get it all hitting on all eight cylinders, then my, boy, that's when I'll get my soul restored. No, that's what happens after you get restored. Folks, listen, look at what David said in chapter 23 and verse number 2. Look at what he said. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Let me ask you a question. Where are green pastures and still waters located? Think about that for a minute. Where are green pastures and still waters located? In the what? In the valley. You ever seen the still waters on? If you have found still waters on a mountain range, it's in a low place on a mountain range. The water on the mountain peak doesn't sit still. It flows. It runs off the side of the mountain. That's where you get waterfalls. Come crashing down. You might find a green hillside below the tree line on a mountain, but you don't find a pasture on a mountain. Pasture, green pastures, still waters are located in valleys, in low places. They're not on the mountain peaks. The waters are flowing swiftly on the sides of the mountains, tumbling down, crashing. The highest peaks are above the tree lines where there's very little or no vegetation. The air is thinner. It's harder to breathe. The view may be stunning. That's about it. There's no green pasture up there. And there's no still water up there. The soul is restored in green pastures. The soul is restored by still waters. The green pastures and the still waters are found in the valley, in the low places. Are you there? You're in the place of restoration. Are you in a valley this morning? Is it a low place in your life? You are in the place of restoration. You are in the place where God can begin to restore your soul. Hey, don't fight the very thing that God wants to use to restore your soul. Don't get mad at Him. Don't get hard. We'll get bitter. We'll get angry. Be careful. It could be the very place that God has designed for the restoration of your soul. That ability to have your mind cleared and to think clearly again and your emotions stabilized and the opportunity to decide rightly. And in the valley, God has planned to restore our souls. The valley may be the result of our sin. The valley may be the result of our circumstances. The valley may be the result of just our physical weaknesses. But in the valley, God does not abandon us or send us to the scrap heap. Huh? Now, men do that with some cars, don't they? I told you before about my 1968 Skylark. That thing was a lemon. It was horrible. And when it died in an alley somewhere on North Chicago, I took the license plates off and left it there. You say you didn't. Sure did. Walked away from it. Don't know what happened to it to this day. One of the snowplows pushed it off into Lake Michigan, probably. I don't know. I abandoned it. That car wasn't worth restoring. Huh? How many of you have used an old car up and had it sitting around for something? Finally, you just junked it. Call up Acme. What will you give me for this old piece of trash? Huh? I'm going to tell you what. God never has a child that He allegates or relegates to a junkyard. God doesn't send anybody to the scrap heap. God doesn't send anybody to the boneyard. God plans for a process of restoration. Do you understand, friend, how much the world just uses people up? You see these sports stars, you boys right now, some of you, you're infatuated with these sports stars who make these millions and millions of dollars because they can take something, a little round ball and shoot it or kick it. But do you realize that The world will squeeze every bit of entertainment it can get out of them for whatever years they can give it. And then when it's done, it's done. How many movie stars are movie stars in their 70s and 80s? Charles Bronson. Yeah, he was. I guess he was. I don't know. He ain't nothing around anymore. The world squeezes everything it can out of them and gets all the entertainment they can and then just leaves them. Just discards. God is not that way. God sees his people, young and old, hit the wall and come to the place where mentally and emotionally and the decision processes just aren't clicking. And God doesn't say, okay, Gabriel, boneyard. Scrap heap. Part them out. They say that. God says, I have a project. I have a restoration project. That young man down there, that middle-aged man down there, that young lady, that older lady has hit the wall. Their soul is just wearied. Their minds and their emotions and their ability to decide has kind of hit the wall. Now, I need to restore them. I can't do it on the mountain. I've got to do it in the valley. And he designs a restoration process for all of his children. I'm talking to some of you this morning. You're there. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. It's God's garage. Huh? Man gets to restoring an old car. He doesn't do it out on the street. He puts it inside a garage somewhere out back. You don't see God has a garage. That's his garage. Designed for my restoration. Designed for your restoration. God restores our souls. He refreshes and makes new again. Our thought processes, our emotions, I'm sorry, but he does such a better job than Dr. So-and-so. Please, don't take me wrong this morning. I'm not being ugly. If you've got chronic pain, you physical pain, you have to have something. I'm not being ugly this morning. Man, people get involved in accidents. Their backs get in trouble. Some of these guys have had back surgeries. I'm talking about these things to calm your mind and these things to sedate you and anxiety and worries. Friend, that happens to everybody. Nobody out here can sit and claim this kind of emotional stability. No. We come to the place where we need our souls restored. Now, let me give you just, I've preached all my time. Let me give you just two or three thoughts on this restoration thing this morning. Look, number one, when you get to that restoration place where you need it, spend extra time in your Bible with the Lord. Spend extra time in your Bible with the Lord. Look what he said in verse number two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, spend extra time in your Bible with the Lord. Look, we have to be careful because in the valley, we got to fight off despair, hopelessness, that being destitute of hope. You know what despair does? Despair paralyzes us and causes us to do nothing. I've known people who've hit the need for restoration. They've hit the valley. You know what they do? That's the last thing you need is a closed Bible. When you hit the valley in need of restoration, when your mind and your emotions and your thought processes and decision-making abilities have hit the wall, you say, I just don't know what to do. Ever been there? God's brought you to a green pasture, but he's not going to make you eat it. You ever put a sick kid who's been sick, you ever put a meal in front of him, even if it's like chicken noodle soup, and you had to force feed him? Because this is what? This is good for you. You need this. And God brings us into a valley, and he's given us the green pasture of his word. But friend, he can't make us eat of it. That's a decision that you and I must make. And when you hit the valley, you don't need less Bible, friend. When you hit the valley, you need more Bible. When you can't make a decision, you don't need less Bible, you need more Bible. You say, Pastor, you sound like the Bible has the answer for everything. Pretty much. Pretty much. The people who are claiming it doesn't, read 5 verses a day. Hey, what do for 30 days in the valley? Why don't you read about 10, 12 chapters a day? I don't feel like it. That's you kind of eat. This is a book of green pasture. This is a book of nourishment. And you get down in the valley and despair paralyzes us. God has put us in the green pastures of His Word. And He wants us to eat when we get there. It will help restore our soul. Don't spend less time in your Bible. Spend more time, extra time. Read an extra chapter. Take 30 minutes at night and turn off American goofy, stupid idol. In every Survivor and Lost and ignoramus show you could ever dream up. Absolute nonsense. Freak shows. And read your Bible. Pastor, you talk like the answer is spiritual. It's sure not American Idol. And isn't it funny, the people who claim that, God just never speaks to me out of His Word, they don't even read it. There are no secrets. There are no hidden keys. What are you looking for? The hidden key. The lightning bolt that's going to zap out of God's sky and I'm going to be different. Bionic Baptists. Huh? Folks, there is no secret and there's no hidden key. The answer is an open book. Get in it. Get in it. Spend extra time in the green pasture of God's Word. Number two, when you hit the valley and you need restoring, number two, look for the still waters. Look for the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know that a sheep will not drink from rushing water, swiftly moving water? In order for a sheep to drink, they have to have still waters. Look for the still waters. Because David said the shepherd leads us beside still waters. And when you find the still water, drink from it. It'll help restore your soul. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you know what? It may be, God may use a song. You might be on the way to work, in the valley, in the process of God trying to restore you. And, you know, your thought is just how bad it is and how difficult this is and how rotten this is and how unfair this is. And the whole time, a CD is playing a song on there that God has intended for us to use as still waters. And if we'll quit thinking about how bad it is and how unfair it is and how difficult it is and drink from the still waters of that good song. How many times has God used music? Amen. If I was in the valley, I would not listen to Mike and Mike in the Morning. I'm serious as a heart attack. If I was in the valley, I would not listen to the WGN. The guy just retired, I guess. Spike Odell, my daughter went into mourning when Spike Odell retired. Unbelievable. If I'm in the valley, I'm going to put in a CD of some Christian music. And I'll promise you, almost 90% of the time, there's some still water on that CD that God will use to restore our soul. I hope y'all get that CD out. Man, I listened to that thing the other night. That's a blessing. Whew. These teenagers made a song, a CD, professionally recorded these songs. They're a blessing. Mercy Day. Look for the still water. God may use something humorous. You know, it's okay to laugh as a Christian. A fundamentalist. How are you funny? I'll never smile. So I was talking to Brother Brown the other day. His wife is in chemotherapy. His daughter-in-law is, unless God intervenes, is going to lose these two twins and may lose her own life. And if she survives the next 10 or 12, 14 days, they're going to put her in the hospital for the next 6 months. I'm talking to Brother Brown. He is heavy laden right now with all these health issues in his family. He said, Terry, he said, funniest thing happened the other day. And he told me about it. You know how funny it was? It wasn't. To me, it wasn't funny. Well, you know, you want to be proper, so what you do? You ever been there? I'm going to tell you what it was, Brother Maxwell. It was funny to him. And it was humorous to him. You know what it was? It was still water. It was a drink of still water in the midst of a valley that God designed for the restoration of his soul. He brought him a little still water, and you got to look for the still water, the humor, the light things, the music. It may be a good book. It may be a close friend. But in the valley, God is going to lead us by still water, and we've got to look for it. We've got to have our minds at the, it is not doom and gloom. God is not done with me. He's not going to throw me to the scrap heap. He's not taking me to the boneyard. He's going to restore my soul in this valley, and he's going to bring something along my path that I can... Man, that tasted good. Called still water, something that refreshes, something that lightens the load. In the valley, there will be some still waters. Look for them, people, and then drink from them. Drink from them. It's part of the restoration process. Spend extra time with the Lord in your Bible. Number two, look for the still waters. And let me say number three this morning, restoration has a purpose. Did you know that? Look at verse number three. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hey, what does that guy do when he finishes that 55 Chevy? What Brother Steve told me, he said, preacher, he said, he's working down south. He said, well, keep telling me about restoring this Norton. He said, I want you to see it. And I remember the day he came riding up in that thing. And we saw it. Isn't that what a guy does? Isn't that the reason for the restoration? He gets it all restored so he can ride in the parade. Great big cigar in his mouth, you know, and everybody looks at that car go by, and man, look at that. Wow, ooh and ah over it. Man, look at that. Whoa, and he just smiled, you know. Is he shy to talk about it? Come on, no. You got enough time, you get the whole story. There was a purpose behind the restoration. When the restoration was complete, he put it out there for everybody to just go, wow. And friend, there is a purpose in God's restoration process. And that is so that we might return to paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There is a path to walk, a life to live, a mountain to climb, a job to do for His glory, for His honor. And God restores us and puts us back on that path for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to Him. For His name's sake. Yeah. Look, there is no human being that is made to run on autopilot. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. There are times when every person is going to hit the wall. Maybe you might be in the best of health, but your mind is just doing this. Can't sleep, and your emotions are doing this, bing, 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 like a pinball in the old pinball machines, ping, 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 and I don't know what to do. That's part of life. And when we hit the wall like that, it's usually in a valley, and it's for the and God has a design and a purpose for that valley. To restore our souls. Put us back out there on the path of bringing Him glory and honor. Huh? Don't fight the valley. Don't fight the valley. I'll be glad when this is over. Don't fight the valley. Don't fight it. Go through it. Go through it. Because it's his place of restoration. David said he restores my soul. I know what he's talking about. I've been there. Some of you are there now. Some of you are headed there. But he restores our souls. That place of restoration is the valley. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. I went a little longer than I should have maybe. Lord, help us today. There are no super Christians. There are no bionic children with some little chip, energizing chip, solar-powered chip that just causes us to function at the top of our level all the time. Nobody like that. God, please reach down this morning to that person who is in your garage right now and help them not to fight it, but to go through it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you are in God's garage this morning. It's what you are. That's where you are. You know what you're there for? A restoration project. God's got his tools out. He's got his sanders, and he's got his wrenches, and he's got his tools, and he's going to start restoring that soul, working on you to help your mind get settled and your emotions get stable and your decisions become easy again. Spend some extra time with him. Eat those green pastures of his word. Look for the still waters, that little thing he brings along to encourage you. And realize there's a purpose in it, friend. Thank God there's no boneyard, there's no scrap heap when it comes to God. Just a restoration project. How many here this morning, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. And if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I am in the process of being restored. I'm in a valley. I need to be restored. I don't want to fight it. But the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Something specific in the message. Would you raise your hand all over the room this morning? God bless you. God bless you, my dear Father. Pray for every hand that was lifted just a moment ago and the person behind that hand, that, Lord, you'd help them in the valley. He restores our souls. The good old song about that, Lord. But in the valley, he restoreth my soul. I pray for that person this morning in that project that, God, they'll let you do whatever work you need to do and help them, I pray. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning, Brother Angel, I couldn't raise my hand just then. I don't know where if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody like that? God bless you. Is there somebody else this morning? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Join this. If you're not sure that you're saved, the most important thing that you'll do in life is know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We have somebody that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Like that's what happened to me 30-something years ago. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. If you don't know for sure and you'd like to, why don't you come right now? Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. That's right. God bless you. Somebody could take the Bible this morning and show how to be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody here this morning, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, and believers, baptism. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Saved but not baptized? Maybe you came this morning to Father, Lord, and believers, baptism. All right. If you know that this is the place that God wants you to be a member and you want to join, you've talked to one of us pastors about that. Now's the time to come according to God's will. Christian, in God's garage this morning for restoration purposes, let him have his way. Let him have his way. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? The hands were raised all over the auditorium. I'd slip out, spend a moment here at the altar. Just let the Lord know that, God, you were kind enough to come by my seat, come by my heart. Lord, you slip out this morning. Just kneel and pray for a moment. In God's garage for restoration.